You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 29th, 2009. This is episode 88, Mapping for Ministry. It's time again for another Wells Tech Podcast, and we are on episode 88, and my partner in all 88 episodes has been Sally Draper, and today is no different. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and welcome to the end of July. Summer's about over, isn't it?
That's right. And this is a maybe an abbreviated, although we've said that in the past, an abbreviated Wells Tech Podcast.
Don't make any promises.
We're pre-recording this as this is the week of Synod Convention. We're right in the middle of that week. And we decided not to try and do one from Synod Convention, so we're recording this the week before. So we'll be talking a little bit about what's going on there, as we did in our last week's podcast, and all kinds of other good stuff.
That's right. There's always loads of good stuff. And, you know, in some of our community feedback, it's going to come out with new ideas for kind of mashing up or making a mix of different resources that are available to serve your gospel ministry. And that's what's so exciting about this. All these techies get together and listen to the podcast and send us their great ideas, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and it's not just I think we've got more than just techies, as far as I can tell from our listening audience. We've got a mixture. We've got people interested in it and wanting to learn more. We've got people, you know, right in the midst of it, and we also have people who spend their entire days, you know, in technology. That's their job, and then they apply that to ministry. And that's what's cool about all of our listeners, is that they're not just techies. They're people who care about their Savior and want to share that. So that's cool, and that's what we care about too, how technology can help and influence that. So we're going to talk about a topic today that fits in the productivity and efficiency side of things in technology, and it has a lot of application in a lot of different areas of ministry. And it's a topic that we talk about on and off on the show, and we actually had a whole show on this, and I don't even remember when it was, Sally, but mind mapping is the topic for the day.
That's right. And I guess right away we probably should define what mind mapping is. And that's kind of hard to wrap your brain around a little unless you've experienced it. But basically, it's a visual way of organizing your thoughts and connecting them. And it's a really simple interface that allows you to drag and drop and reorganize your thoughts as your brainstorming continues. And lots of ministry applications for that kind of tool.
Yeah, it all started, really didn't even start within the context of technology. It was something that was scribbled out on paper and still is today, where it's a movement away from what they call linear thinking, a top-to-bottom, you know, organization, where you start at the top of the page and you list your ideas, and then essentially it's a stack of ideas separated by indents called an outline. And kind of turning that, inverting that, and saying, you know, it's not going to be a top to bottom. It's going to be a circular thing where you put the main idea in the middle and then radiating from it or encircling it from like a clock are all the ideas around it. So it can be very visual. It's used in educational circles. In fact, that's where it got its start in England, where I think an educator came up with the idea and recognized that the top-to-bottom approach is not the way our minds work. Our minds are more visual than that, and you engage the left and the right brain, and out popped this concept called mind mapping. Now, what's interesting to us and why we're talking about it on the show is there's all kinds of technology tools today that allow you to do this on your computer or on the web. So there's some things that we're going to be talking about today that do that. But let's first talk about ministry application. Where do you see this being used in churches and schools?
Well, I was going to cheat a little and say my ministry application is I couldn't do the Wellstack podcast
That's
without
right.
a mind map because
That's
it
what
is
we
my
do.
crutch. That's how we collaborate.
That's what we both look at on our screens while we're doing this show.
Exactly. So just an awesome tool for that. But certainly within the ministry context, for me, from the education standpoint, you already mentioned that mind maps are great for education. And so I've introduced them in our computer lab and to our teachers and things for just brainstorming topics, maybe for writing assignments or other types of assignments. The kids are used to it. The teachers typically have them doing this on paper from pretty early on in the education process. And so introducing the computer to that just seems like a natural fit. So
I've heard them called graphical organizers by some teachers. It's essentially the same concept of of this picture drawing, and your mind remembers that better. So I know a lot of teachers encourage students to do it for test prep so that they can kind of get the big picture and it kind of sticks in the head a little bit longer so that they can, you know, the retention grows.
Absolutely. Another real life ministry application for me, or at least for my pastor, who happens to be my husband, is that he does all his sermon outlining in a mind map. So all throughout the week as he's studying his text and things, he has a mind map that is kind of a running thought process for him as he's planning a sermon, and then he writes his sermon, obviously, from that visual outline that he's created for his sermon.
Yeah, I find, and I've done the same thing. I've done sermon outlining. I've done preaching right from it as well. And it kind of keeps you focused on the main points as opposed to a manuscript where you're somewhat chained and it becomes a little bit more stilted. I like the concept of mind mapping because of its flexibility, the drag and drop nature of it, the ability to connect thoughts, which is very difficult to do in a traditional outline. So you can draw arrows. You can put in pictures. The mind mapping software allows you to put in links. The software that we use called Mind Manager from MindJet.com does all of those things. You can send email over to it, websites. You can even have entire files contained in a mind map. So they're archived within it. So it's a self-contained capsule of everything about a particular topic. Very, very easy to organize. We were just in a, Sally, we were just in a, my tech managers were in an offsite yesterday. Once a quarter, we try and get off the SAB campus here and go to a location where we're going to get some undisturbed time where we can do some planning. So we do that every 3 months to kind of do a regroup and then a look ahead. And we essentially spend the entire time in a mind map where we're brainstorming, where we're connecting ideas, where we're assigning tasks that can be done. There's all kinds of tools available that really aid in just general organization.
And you're kind of introducing the next topic I wanted to talk about, which is collaboration. You know, obviously on our podcast, we collaborate with your tech managers. You do. In the ministry setting, I could definitely see a use for mind mapping for collaborative efforts within your staff or even for distance ed type things. So being able to share a mind map with someone that you're doing a Bible information class with that's maybe in a different state from you or something. And just having that as a platform, almost a presentation tool or something that you could talk from and you could maybe flesh out and develop together points on the mind map. I can definitely see a lot of collaborative type applications for it. Even boards and commissions, you know, there's lots of those kind of meetings at the Synod level as well as at the district level. And so definitely application there.
And I think that's the way the industry or this particular segment of the industry is going. Really focusing on the collaborative nature. When these things first started, they were pretty self-contained, and the only way to collaborate would be in the traditional fashion where you would send a map to somebody else and they'd add their stuff and they'd send it back and you'd add your stuff or you'd do editing like that. But with the advent of Web 2.0 technology, it's all about collaboration. So a lot of the mind mapping engines out there are web-based. So we wanted to talk about a couple of those because there's a couple new ones out there that are pretty intriguing that I know you've tried, Sally, and I've looked at. and a couple that have been around that are maturing to a usable state. A while back, both of us tried a product called MindMeister, good German name, MindMeister.com, and that worked fairly well, although we had some issues with just the interface, not clicking all the time. It wouldn't refresh correctly. We'd lose data. And I think it was a little bit before its time. But it was it had all the features that a mind map traditionally has, the ability to add topics and subtopics and connect them and add additional information about them and so on and so forth. But it just wasn't quite ready. Another one was Mindomo, M-I-N, or is it Mindomo? M-I-N-D-O-M-O.com. Same kind of deal. But you found a couple that you know, look like they're headed in the right direction.
Right, and both of these, I believe, are still in beta. But the two I wanted to share are called BubbleUS, BUBBL.us.
US, right.
Yeah, and the other one is Slatebox.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just look quick, slatebox.com. Both of them are very Web 2.0 apps. You have to sign up for an account. You can store your mind maps online. You can save them, email them, embed them in your own blog or whatever, you know, and really simple to use. Maybe not as feature-rich as some of the, you know, local applications
right.
that you might install on your computer. I didn't see a way to embed links, for instance. But I think that they're growing and they're coming up to speed quickly in this mind mapping space.
Mm-hmm.
And what's neat about it is that whole collaborative thing. I was going to explain how that worked in MindMeister. I could see when you came into the map, and
right.
I could watch you as you were typing in the map. You know, so we definitely were working together on these maps and could see each other's edits and things like that. It's really a neat process.
Mm-hmm. As we mentioned before, we both use Mind Manager from MindJet. They also have a collaborative add-on, which is a paid-for in-the-cloud type service, which worked really well. You could essentially do the same thing where you could see somebody adding information and what their edits were and so on and so forth. But there's other kind of collaborative tools that support mind map type functions that are coming out as well. I wanted to highlight a couple of those. One I ran across the other day called Thinkature, thinkature.com. It's essentially real-time collaboration for the web. It's an electronic whiteboard in the cloud. You can draw on it. You can put arrows and boxes, and you know, can get very close to what mind mapping really is about. But you do it together, and it's very real-time. So more than one person can be on the whiteboard at one time. So it's all about that collaborative feature. Very the interface is kind of slick, and it allows you to do quite a few things if you have a need to collaborate with somebody who's not there with you, but you want to do it in real time so you can see what each other is thinking and do some just good old-fashioned whiteboarding. So they do a nice job with that. So that's a new area within the Web 2.0 universe. Another one that is more web conferencing, but any web conferencing software would typically support collaborative mind mapping, because what web conferencing software does is it usually allows screen sharing and multiple people working on the same desktop at the same time. So, for Sally, for instance, you and I went to VYEW.com, and I shared my screen, my mind map with you that I was working on locally, I could give you permission to actually edit it as well. So in that sense, we've got that collaborative session going. And one good thing about Vue is it's free, and it also supports audio conferencing. And they've got all kinds of other good features. They have a whiteboard feature. I don't know if we've talked about them in the past, but I think their technology is really cool.
Yeah, I think that whole online conferencing just opens up another arena for your ministry applications and being able to reach out to those, especially at a distance. Maybe not sharing a whiteboard, maybe just you know, being able to have multiple people in the same conversation and see, you know, a shared document, not edited, but just lots of potential there.
Yeah, free or very inexpensively, which is a great thing for churches and schools with obviously tight budgets. words. The last thing I wanted to mention in the context of mind mapping is that there are some crossovers to wikis. Wikis are collaborative. People come in like Wikipedia or some of the other tools that we've mentioned in the past. MediaWiki is what runs Wikipedia, but I know Gail has talked about a number of wikis, and we have in the past too. And they're also supporting some of these mind mapping features. One called WikaWiki, WikaWiki, and I think it's .org, supports mind maps, especially FreeMind mind maps, which is a free mind mapping software. Natively, where you can import them and collaborate on them, as well as all the other things that a wiki does well, which is it's great at text and linking and creating sublinks and those kinds of things. So all kinds of ways, if you want to collaborate, and that mind maps are kind of set up that way where it's multiple people working in them, there's no end of options here.
Well, thanks for the WikaWiki, because I'm a FreeMind fan. That's what I've used in our computer lab. That's a good way to get the kids into mind mapping for free.
Yep.
And so maybe this is a natural extension of what we've already set up there.
Sure. We've got a bunch of links that we'll throw in the show notes. One that would list all the mind mapping software that Wikipedia knows about. So it's a pretty exhaustive list. And there's also another interesting list of mind mapping software that's only web-based. So if you're interested in just doing it in the cloud, which is perfectly fine in my opinion, and typically those are free, there's a whole list on just web-based mind mapping softwares like MindMeister, MindDomo, Bubble.us, Slatebox, those kinds of things. So you don't need to download anything. You don't need to update anything. You just get the latest and greatest because it is, again, Web 2.0.
Don't you love the Web 2.0 world?
Awesome.
Cool stuff.
Except when I don't have internet, but
minor technicality.
Minor, yes, but that doesn't that's happening less and less, and I think the way things are moving, at least as I see across the country, there's more and more money, federal dollars and state dollars being thrown at getting broadband out to places that don't have it. So I think it will not be long until we see availability, at least in almost every corner of the country, not just dial-up access, but some kind of high-speed access. And I think that's when it really gets interesting, when everybody or almost everybody has access to it.
Definitely.
All right. Because we have an abbreviated version, we're going to jump right to our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Well, Martin, I guess I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't pick something from Google. That seems to be my latest trend.
Yeah, I got to follow in that your footsteps there, too.
They're doing some good stuff at Google. And today I wanted to point people to the Google Docs templates. So if you're a Google Docs user, you're going to find a lot of great templates that you can use for your documents, spreadsheets, presentations, and even forms that you're creating with Google Docs. And they're all organized into different categories. They have business-oriented docs. They have calendars and schedules. They have things related to holidays. They have personal finance templates, resumes, and more. I'm looking at the hottest things right now, and there's lots of different really professional-looking resumes layouts. There's a family budget planner, a service invoice, a yearly calendar that you could edit, and more. There's certainly under forms, there's loads of forms that you could create and embed in your own website, things like a contact us form or different survey forms and things like that. So maybe you haven't gone the Google Docs route, but this might be a way for you to get a better feel for what it's capable of doing. You know, start checking out some of the different templates and playing with them, and I think very quickly you'll realize, you know, what a powerful tool set Google Docs is. So, again, Google Docs templates. It's at docs.google.com/templates.
This is really cool, Sally. I never knew this existed. I'm a Google Docs user. I mean, not a real heavy user, but I do use them probably at least once or twice a week. And I never knew these existed. And I'm on the page now, and there's 1,778 templates available here. of
what a
all
deal
shapes and
free.
Sizes and free.
Yeah.
So that really makes it more usable, too, rather than just staring at the blank page. You know you have a purpose, and likely your purpose has a template out there. So
that's right.
Very cool. And they've done a nice job with categorizing these. You can narrow them down by language, ratings. Very cool. I like this. Thanks, Sally.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with the Google theme, kind of, and pick a tool that actually didn't start out as Google. I think Google consumed them, and that's Picasa, P-I-C-A-S-A. And it's essentially a photo organizer for free that's owned by Google. They're up to version 3. I believe there's a Windows and a Mac version, which is great. They both work in a very similar fashion, but essentially it works like any other photo organizer. You can organize your photos into web albums. You can search for photos. One nice thing I like about Picasa is that it leaves all of your pictures where they are on your hard drive. So it doesn't collect them all into one central location. You can feel free to organize it any way you want and point Picasa at that folder or drive or directory, and it indexes them, and then you essentially organize them with a layer on top of that. One of the reasons that I'm interested in it now is I just started using it again. I'm going to have my youngest daughter, who's at Luther Prep, take my iMac to school with her. And I'm not going to replace it with a Mac. I'm just going to go back to a Windows laptop. And I needed something to get all of my pictures were in iPhoto on the Mac. So I needed to get those onto another system, on a Windows system. And iPhoto doesn't obviously run on a Windows environment. So I had to find a replacement. And I know I'd used Picasa in the past. My oldest daughter is a big user of Picasa. And she has far more pictures than I do, but it's, and I'm finding that it has a lot of the same features as a paid-for product like iPhoto. Well, it comes with the operating system, I suppose, but you can do almost everything. It even has face recognition, like the latest iPhoto release has, which is really cool. Where you can say, "Show me all the pictures of my wife, or my son, or my daughter, or my grandmother, or grandchild." And group all those together, and it's smart enough to go through all your photos as you train it and collect those automatically. It does have editing functions. You can create collages. You can do some printing through print services. You can share these online. There's a web albums concept in Google online where you can upload it, kind of like Flickr for photo sharing. Just a really nice interface. They've done a great job with it, and for free, that's an awesome buy for anybody looking to organize their pictures on a Windows or a Mac platform if you don't like iPhoto.
Meets the budget requirements, huh?
That's right.
You know, I was thinking that you were not being a real savvy on Picasa. I was thinking that what you were describing was a web-based application only, like Flickr is.
Mm-mm.
But what Picasa has is both sides of
right.
it. It has a local client
and only
that allows
online what
you
want, right?
Yeah, and then you have the ability to have this web interface as well. My mom is a Picasa user,
is that right?
So she sends me links to her web albums, and that's kind of my exposure to it. But I know,
cool.
you know, it's part of the Google tool set, and so it integrates nicely with your Google account and
yep.
Allows you to have that extra dimension of photo sharing.
Yeah, my daughter was on her honeymoon 2 weeks ago, and she used Picasa to share honeymoon pictures, which is really awesome for Debbie and I to look at. We could, you know, kind of relive our honeymoon as they went through, we went through the pictures that they were sending right up through Picasa. What do you use, Sally, for photo organization?
Well, I'm actually a Snagit fan, and Snagit, which is
really
has a whole tagging system and, you know, folders and things like that as well. So because I love doing image editing there, it has tool set that I'm used to using, then I do most of my image work there in Snagit.
Mm-hmm. You are a TechSmith fangirl.
I am. Yesterday, they put out that it was Jing's second anniversary. Maybe that could be our new technology showcase. If you haven't tried Jing for screencasting, it's their second anniversary, and they're giving away buttons and stickers and things. So check out jingproject.com. That's
awesome.
Another TechSmith.
Awesome tool, and another one that's free, right?
That's right.
Is there a paid-for side of Jing?
There is now. They started totally free, but you can get it, you know, without advertising and have more storage space and make longer videos because Jing is limited to 5 minutes.
5 minutes,
videos.
Right. Yeah,
there's a Jing Pro.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about screencasting in last week's show when we were talking about what I was doing for the resolutions committee and doing some training there. So lots of applications. Right. Speaking of resolution training, we want to remind everybody that the convention website is up and running and ready for you to keep up to speed on what's going on at our biannual Synod Convention this year held in Saginaw, Michigan, which is the site of Michigan Lutheran Seminary, which is one of our two high schools. And to get there, go to wells.net/convention. You'll see daily reports, news flashes. You'll see live streaming, audio streaming, blogs, all kind of pictures. There's all kinds of good stuff that if you can't be at the convention, you can kind of be at the convention if you go to wells.net/convention. I'm sure you'll be there, Sally.
That's right. I'm doing the virtual thing. Not going to be in Michigan, but going to be following closely online. So,
very good.
And we'll be anxious next week to hear a little recap from you. I'm sure you'll have some stories to tell.
Absolutely. All right. Community feedback. Because we're doing this show in advance, we don't have a lot, but what we have is good stuff.
That's right. And it's from our friend John Shoesmith, who's out at Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. And he sent us a couple of interesting emails. John's always got the mindset of using the tools that are available for the ministry purposes. And right now he's looking at LibriVox.org. This is actually a website I believe Ryan Rosenthal originally pointed us to a while back, maybe in one of our contests. What was one of his favorite sites. And it's basically a free audio resource where you can download books that are in the public domain that people just read for the purpose of sharing the book in audio format. So a really cool tool if you're looking for, you know, education-type resources or just something to listen to on your iPod when you're traveling or whatever, you'll want to check out LibriVox.org. But what's John's take on it is why not publish some great doctrinal essays or sermons or things like that are in the public domain so that those can be shared and listened to, and hopefully people would grow in their faith from those readings and things. And he was mentioning, you know, perhaps some of Luther's sermons or Gerhard's meditations or whatever that might be good candidates for people to record and share on the LibriVox platform. So great idea there. I think John's gearing up to potentially do some of that recording himself, and we certainly encourage any of our listeners who would like to get in on that kind of project, you know, to check out LibriVox.org and see what kind of potential is there for that.
And that's LibriVox.org.
That's right. And John's other email to us this week had to do with a question around music segments for podcasting. Or even for video casting. If you need some stock music that's copyright free that you can use to include there. And he was specifically asking Martin about the music that we include in our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We typically end all our shows with a Wells artist, and we have permission from those artists to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that we can give permission for others to use. I guess if you wanted to contact the artist directly, you know, and seek that permission, we typically include a link to their website, and their contact information can be found there. But there are other stock audio type sites where you could get some free sound to include in your efforts, whatever they may be, podcasting or video or whatever. And the two I wanted to specifically mention are soundsnap.com and freesound.org. And I know both of those you may have to search around a little bit, but they have longer musical selections and things that you could use. The Soundsnap website has gone to a fee-based platform, but you can get 5 free downloads per month. So, you know, as long as you're careful with your selection and only select the ones that you really need, you should be able to get some good stuff from there. And then free sound, you just
and you can preview all of them before you download them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So just a couple of options for you there, John. And like I said, great ideas and always has the heart for furthering the ministry there. And that's really exciting to see.
Keep the feedback coming, everybody. If you have something to say or something you'd like us to talk about, reaction to what we've said, please let us know. WellsTech@wells.net is the email address, or WellsTech.wells.net is the website. And Sally, our Facebook page, how's that doing?
Well, I think we're up to about 83.
We're closing
there.
In on 100. That's our, right. our immediate goal, so we can get our vanity URL, facebook.com/WellsTech. So help us get there, and that would be another good way to reach us as well.
Right, and I guess I was reminded this week that you can share, links to our podcast on your own personal Facebook page. So we post those links in various places, but you're welcome to use any of your social networking skills to share those links and help us just get the word out about the podcast so that we can find new listeners and gather new ideas from them.
Increase the family size, yes.
There you go.
Is that it for feedback?
I think that's it for this week.
Okay. Next week, we're going to be joined by Gail Potratz, our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent.
This week, Gail is at a conference being held at the Milwaukee Zoo. Mm-hmm. It's called the Milwaukee Digital Media Conference, and we're really looking forward to her recap of that conference and the things that she learns for using media in the classroom and that kind of thing. And she's actually going to try to snag an interview with one of the conference organizers, mm-hmm. Tammy Stevens.
That'd be cool.
And if you want to follow them real time, they're tweeting the activities at the MDMC using the Twitter tag #MDMC09. So check out Twitter, and you can see what's going on this week at the Milwaukee Digital Media Conference.
Very
also
good.
Also wanted to put in a plug for our bonus Wells Tech Goodness show. It's coming up next Monday, and the topic is going to be e-news using MailChimp. And we've talked about MailChimp before, and it's just a really painless way to get your message out in a very professional format via email. So tune in for that show next Monday.
Very good. All right, let's close the show. We kept it, we're under 45 minutes. That's not too bad.
There you go.
Let's close the show with the music of Koine, from All That Dwells Below the Skies, a beautiful hymn that they're going to sing for us from their original album called Koine. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
That dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. Him up.